Because I do have a PowerPoint. Otherwise, we have to use imagination. Oh, wonderful. It's nothing wrong to use imagination, but I think it would be helpful to show you some pictures. How many of you have gone to a cruise? At least more than once, or, you know, if you have gone once, raise your hand. Some people just live on the boat, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months a year, especially in the winter times. So I see quite a few of you really enjoy the oceans and join the cruise and all you can eat, whatever, and gain some pounds and come back to play pickleballs. There's nothing wrong with that. And people just love ocean. For some reason, people say that when you look at the ocean, you feel better somehow. And to me, I feel scared because I cannot swim. I prefer to look at the mountains, give me some stability. So that's why I have never gone to a cruise yet. Maybe you can recommend me to go to a cruise that has no waves, you know. Then I might join you guys. But anyway, people love ocean somehow because there's a magic with water, especially a lot of water. And then people love not just sitting on the cruise, but at the same time, water sports. There are so many in the summertime or wintertime, ice, snow, they are still related to water, so just different forms. And so we enjoy all these sports, especially Canadians like us. We have all kinds of weathers, so hot summer, very cold winter, but at the same time, we enjoy all these things. But at the same time, water could be very destructive. Oh, I should change the picture. Don't make you feel bad. Oh, it's still a bad one. But anyway, this is we might not relate to this that much because water could be a very powerful way for destructions. If we use it wisely, control it in the environment, just like this water tank. Without the tank, the water will become a very messy for each one of us. So sometimes water, we can really enjoy it. Sometimes it could be very destructive. So we just want to look at today, First Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. I know not many people or pastors will use this passage, talks about baptism. But I find this is a very interesting passage from Peter. Even though Paul did not talk much about Noah and relate to his story to baptism, but Peter somehow God inspired him and allowed him to write down all these verses. So today we just want to take a look at this together. Maybe I just, this one would be better. Just stay there for a while. So let's look at this few verses together. I have 2 points to share with you today. I promise Pastor Henry today will be a very short message, so I will try my best. But as I get older, I find myself getting a long-winded preacher, so I will try to be short today. So the first point I want to share with you today is the meaning of the water in the baptismal worship or in the service. What's the meaning of the water, actually? So if you look at this passage together, and we have to look back carefully. First Peter talks about, one of the themes of First Peter talks about suffering for Christ. So he talks about that in the previous verses. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 17, it's a very important verse, talks about it's a transition. It is better if it is God's will. If you have a Bible, please turn to your Bible or turn on your phone. And verse 17, it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So to him, sometimes it's God's will for good people to suffer. So, and then he gave us an example right away. The example that he gave us, of course, was Jesus Christ. And then during that conversation, then he brought in the story of Noah. So today, even though we are not looking at the main theme of suffering, but at the same time, we can look at this passage, and we can have some light on us about this story of Noah. What does it mean to us today, especially for baptism? So if you look at this passage, And Paul talks about, no, Peter talks about Jesus was the reason why we do not have to go through death like what the days that Noah's day. So let's look at this carefully and we will see what is happening. If you go back to Genesis chapter, chapter 6 or 7 and 8, you will see that in Genesis, we have to go back and see Noah's day, the whole world, man became very, very sinful. And God was so upset with his creation, and then he made up his mind and say, let's destroy the whole world and let me start again, something like that. But at the same time, he found Noah. He was a righteous man before God's eyes. And so God was determined to destroy the world because of sins. Not because he did not like his creation, or not because he thought, well, maybe I could do something better. So that was not the reason. The scripture clearly says that God was sad because of the whole world, all mankind was sinful against him. But he saw Noah. So in the story, he said, oh, I have to determine to have a judgment upon the whole world. But at the same time, I have to find a way for this family, especially Noah, because he was righteous before my eyes, I could not just kill him. So he asked him to prepare an ark, as you know, a big boat. In these days, we know that according to the measurement, it's a huge boat. And around the world, there are some people try to build something similar size. So we know that it's a huge boat that God was asking Noah to build. It took him about less than 100 years because based on the scriptures, we know that for when he was 500 years old, he started his family. So for many of us, wow, you know, you could be single for 500 years, enjoy life, and then start a family. How's that? So he started his family about 500 years old, and then the scripture says that the flood came when he was 600 years old. So we know that he spent less than 100 years building this ark, getting ready for the judgment of God coming upon the world. In that period of time, I'm sure God was doing this so that people have an opportunity to repent, to return to him. So it took him longer, less than 100 years to build, but at the same time, God actually gave people a chance to repent and to return, but of course, nothing happened. So the time came, you know the story, the whole family went into the boat, the ark, and who closed the door? The scripture clearly said that it was God who closed the door. Time has come. Judgment is coming. So that was the background of this story. And then Peter said that story, he found parallelism in today's baptism. So we can see that this is a very important lesson that we can learn from. So if you turn to chapter 3, we continue to read. Verse 21 is a very important verse. Because verse 21, Peter actually talked about this water. He said, this water symbolized baptism that now saves you also. You see, this is what he wants us to see, the parallelism of Noah's day. And then today, the meaning of the water. It was a judgment to the time of Noah. Water in that day, in those times, was not to save people. It was God's tool to judge the sinful world. So a lot of the time when we go to the baptismal service like that, we thought the water has something to do with cleansing us. But according to 1 Peter, this is not true. Water in the Old Testament, in Noah's time, was a judgment. Everybody died because of that. They get drowned. And then everybody died except those family, Noah's family, because they were in the ark, and they were safe. So if you look at this, you will know that Peter, make sure we get that. He said that it's not to remove dirt from our body. You see, We go to we take shower, I hope, every day. I know some of you don't. And especially in the winter time, maybe two or three days. Well, ask Simo, Joanna, she could tell you, when people go to get a flu shot from her. And she could tell, you know, some people do not take shower every day. So this is very natural for us to take shower because we try to remove some grease, dirt from our body, and this is a very, very so-called shallow meaning of baptism. If you just think about the water, just go in, somehow it will wash you clean. Maybe I'm sure the one who's going to baptize today already took shower. Clean your body. Otherwise, the water will change color. So, if you look at that, water is not just remove something outwardly, because God tried to deal with deep down in our hearts, the deep issues that we have, the evil thoughts, the evil hearts that we have. The water cannot reach that. So he talks about that. He wants us to know, Peter wants us to know, it's far more than just washing something away from you, from your skins. Then this is not a spiritual in-depth meaning of baptism. So if you look at this, you will see Peter was trying to tell us that it's far more than that. The ark, if you look at the parallelism between the Noah's ark time and also our time, in the New Testament time when Peter wrote this, you will see that there's a parallelism. One is they both describe we are living in a sinful world. And the judgment of God to him, to Noah's day, had come. But for us, it's coming. God has determined the end game, the end day, and he has already determined that the judgment day will come. But meanwhile, just like the other parallelism, Noah had time to build the ark, give people time to return to God. Today, we have the same. We have the grace of God that God is still waiting for each one of us. If you are not Christians today, God is still waiting for you to return to him. And there's a period of time we call this is the grace. This is called the time of church, that God is preparing judgment. It's coming upon us eventually, but now we still have time to return to God. So, and then in both incidents, in Noah's day, God prepared the ark as a way for saving those who were found righteous, only Noah's family. But today, God provides a way to save us. That is what? The cross. And Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, all this complete this way for us to be saved. In those days, for those who want to be saved, they had to get in the boat. Grandma may be on the boat, but I insist in the boat, because today, for those who can be saved, is found in Christ Jesus. So, for our brothers and sisters who is going to be baptized today, we already affirm that they have already been found in Christ Jesus. They have accepted Christ into their lives, and they have been found in Christ Jesus because they have accepted his blood, his grace, and they were justified. So now they are righteous, just like Noah's day. And now God is going to prepare them to go through this water and show them the judgment in Noah's day was real. In today is to remind us it is real. The water here is enough to drown all three of them. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. You see, this is not here to clean them. The water is here to remind them judgment is real. God's judgment is death. If you stay there long enough without help, certainly you will be dead. The water is going to kill you. It's a symbolize the judgment of God is real as just like Noah's day. So this is a very important for us to learn this and grab this truth. The only way we can be saved, the only way we can go into this water and come out is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. That's why he was raised from the dead. You know, it's all these things he already did for us. And nowadays, we just need to identify with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, which brings me to the point number two. So what does it mean after the baptism? Is it the end game for us as a Christian? Many, many Christians, including myself, living in being a Christian for so long, seeing many people accept Christ, go through baptism, and then after baptism, some of them disappear from church, some of them become very, very low profile, meaning that they don't get involved much about what is happening in the church, they are not growing in Christ, because a lot of people think that they already get it. Once they get into the water and came out, and they are fully licensed Christians, and they get a passport because of that to go to heaven, so what else do you ask from me, more, something like that. But I just want you to see that this is not the end game, brothers and sisters, especially for those who are baptized today. This is not the end. This is the beginning of your commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you get married, the day you are married, that you won't tell your spouse, that's the end. I'm done with you. You know, we went through the wedding. This is over. No more. Right? You won't say that. And you won't do that. But for some reason, when we go through baptism, we think this is the end. No more requirement I need to go through. Yes, you do. You need to grow in Christ. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Whoa, can you see the word? And this is after Romans chapter 6, the first 9 verses, very important about baptism. And then Paul continued to talk about, and for we know that Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. This is a very important, I know you might hate this, but this is a very packed theology. Talks about how Jesus was unique compared to each one of us, because he only died once and only one, and only one time, because he was not dying for his sin, for his own sin. He did not die in sin. He died to sin, meaning that he's going to say goodbye to the power of sin and death. And he no longer subject to the power of death, so he died to sin and he lived to the power of God. So as if we identify ourselves when we are in Christ Jesus, so Paul talks about we count ourselves also die to sin, meaning that in status, because we are in Christ Jesus, we are in the boat. You are okay now. But this is more than that, because Paul continues, talks about a new life that God expects us to do. A spiritual battle will continue. This is not an end game. This is a starting game. Just like a couple just get married. They all know that they love each other, but this real life is real too. There will be struggles. There will be something that we need to learn as couples and encourage each other to grow at the same time. It's a lifelong process. As we grow together, we enjoy each other better, right? For those who already married 30, 40 years ago, I'm sure I hope you will say that. But anyway, Christian life is very similar. This is not the end. This is the beginning. The water is not going to clean you. The one actually cleans you is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deep from within, because our issues is in our soul, in our spirit. Water cannot reach that. So actually, only Jesus' blood can remove all this from us and for us. So, as I said, this is a short sermon. At the end, I just want to encourage all three of you, and for those who have not been baptized, the water is warm, it's relatively clean, and it's quite deep. But don't worry, your pastor will look after you. So just a symbol telling you that this water is God's judgment. The only way we can get through this is because of Lord Jesus Christ, just like Noah's day. Let's pray together. Father, give you thanks for today. Thank you for Peter's writing. The story of Noah, what really happened many, many thousand years ago. Lord, we thank you for these lessons that you want us to learn. The whole world was sinful, and God, you were so disappointed with us, and then the judgment was determined to come. But you saw people like Noah. He was righteous in your eyes, before you, in your eyes. So you find a way to rescue him, to rescue his family. Today is the same thing, because you love the world. We all know that the judgment will eventually come upon us. But God, you have found a way for us to be saved. The answer is our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who was buried, and who was resurrected. He's no longer live under the power of sin and the judgment of sin. Because of that, for those who are in Christ, just like each one of us who accept his grace, his gospel, now we can claim the same thing. And we can be saved from the coming judgment. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are going to be baptized today, and pray that they will understand this is just the beginning of their Christian walk with you. Lord, we thank you for your grace, and thank you for your promises that you will continue to be with us and encourage us along the way to grow to be more like Jesus. Lord, we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.